At this time, we'll introduce our first speaker. Her name is Laverne, and she's from Washington, D.C.
First, I want to give homage to my Heavenly Father, because without him, I wouldn't be here. Next, I would like to thank the area for even asking me to come here to share my experience, strength with each and every one of y'all. My topic is selflessness and selfishness. And I'm gonna start with the beginning, because I remember when I was still under the influence, my sponsor said to me, "You're a selfish ass individual." And before I die, you're going to change. And you're going to change in spite of yourself. And you ain't going to change because of nothing I did. You're going to change because your ass is so fucking hard-headed. God is going to whip you into submission. And that same day, I fired his ass. And he said to me, "You don't pay me." My sobriety date is December the 30th, 1994. I came in here helpless and hopeless. And angry than a motherfucker. And it wasn't at none of y'all. But because this is a feeling disease, y'all thought it was about your ass, and it wasn't. Here's why. Because I'm a old hoe. Don't get it twisted. Used to be. And I like freaky shit the way. And what tripped me out is I would get these motherfucking looks. And then I would get these saying, "Oh, that bitch thinks she's something." And you're right. Because if I don't think I'm something, why the fuck should you? I came in here stripped of every fucking thing. See, I don't know about none of y'all good ass wholesome people, because y'all look like y'all don't have the kind of issues that I have that I'm getting ready to share with y'all. See, I was given alcohol at the age of 2 years of age. And at the age of 7, I was given marijuana. And both substances was given to me by a family member who didn't know that if you give a child something as simple as a Budweiser or a Miller Genuine Draft, and this is my story, because alcohol is a drug, that it will fuck with your child's mental at the age of 2. And not only would it fuck with their mental, but it also would get them addicted. They didn't know that. Yeah. And by the age of 7 years old, because the other family member who gave me the marijuana felt the need to fuck her sister kids up, which I found out later on through my mother, you know, why my aunt did that, because I was curious and I just had to know. And my mother said, because I used to beat her motherfucking ass to make her watch out. And I let my aunt off the hook. Now, how do you lay all that to selfishness? I ain't finished. When I was 10 years old, 10 to 14, my older brother used to beat the shit out of me. To give you a visual, have anyone ever seen Roots? And have y'all seen the scene when they whooped the shit out of Toby for running? Well, my brother used to beat the shit out of me like that. Now, for those who engaging in conversation, you know, because they don't understand where the selfishness come in at, I was stripped of what it was like to be a fucking child from the gate. So when I grew up and started to fight back, I didn't give a fuck about nobody, because I already felt like nobody gave a fuck about me. Now, because I had that attitude, and I came in the room with that attitude, a whole lot of people kept distance, because they say the bitch ain't approachable. And it wasn't that I wasn't approachable. The bitch did a lot of shit on the street that she didn't want to do to y'all motherfucking asses. Because I told you I'm an old hoe. Now, in order to be an old hoe, you got to get tricked. Because see, you can't turn one if you haven't been tricked. And I'm here to tell you, my profession comes with a lot of selfishness. Because my thing is that when I need something, God damn it, I need you to fucking move. Simple as that. Now, my sickness and my disease progressed it. And the more it progressed it, the more I progressed it. And the more and more I progressed, I started to perfect shit like being a dominatrix. Yeah, because I felt like you want your ass whipped. And you wouldn't like it, because I told you you would. This is my sick shit. But don't nobody want to hear the true story. Because all they want to do is look at the outer appearance. And they say, oh, that one can't help me. That one can't help me. And, oh, I know motherfucking well she ain't gonna do shit for me. But I'm here to tell you, and I want y'all all to hear this real good, because I learned this early on. God needs strong soldiers. And he pulls them from every area and walk of life, because you never know where your help is going to come from, and you never know who might need to hear that same sick bitch that you don't want to hear need to hear it. See, because if it ain't for you, then don't fucking pick it up. Being selfish opposed to being selfless, it was all about what I wanted, okay? Because, see, I'm a woman who don't like fucking waiting on no motherfucking body. And because of that, brother who used to beat the shit out of me taught me that waiting on a man will get me late. Simple as that. Because when I want, and no. Oh, you bet not say no motherfucking no to me. No. It was like I was going through a calypso or something. I couldn't understand no. Well, no got my ass here. Thank God for no. Because no human power moved that obsession from me. Not one. See, because when I was out on the street, I was able to get a dick before I was able to get a sandwich. Oh, y'all some good ass wholesome people. Like, y'all had those problems. Y'all look like everything was given to y'all. Y'all didn't have to struggle for shit. But I ain't ashamed to say what I did, how I did it. And I don't want nobody please don't get it twisted, because, you know, I was young when I was doing what I did. I came in here at 28 years old thinking that, you know, I was going to die hiding Cootie Brown, and I didn't even know who the fuck Cootie Brown was. And I didn't even know if Cootie Brown got high, Lisa. Shit. You know? And I'm doing all the logos on the street, you know, talking all that cool shit. And the whole time I'm losing me. Selfish than a motherfucker. Had no clue. But I'm here to tell you, because when I checked in my story, it was moments of selfishness. I was 15 years old. I was with this fine motherfucker, good God Almighty. 6'5", 225 pounds, and I mean cut the motherfucker. I like them big muscle building motherfuckers. Guy that can scoop your motherfucking ass up in a woo. I was, well, let me get back to the point. You know, I'm trying to tell you. And we went to go cop. Now laugh, I'm telling you. We went to go cop. And shit went bad. He had a 20. The dude he rolled up on didn't have change. He called the man. His man come up. You know how y'all do. Peel y'all shit off. Gave him 4-5. Dude walked away. My friend still holding his money. And he get the shit we went to go cop. Dude walked away. And my friend drove off. I met instantaneously with the cussing his motherfucking ass out. Because that's a fucking no-no. You don't do that shit. Simple as that. But when I said, I think around the third-ish cuss word, it could have been a fourth. I'm not really for sure, because shit happened so fast. I heard pow, pow. Well, I'm here to tell you it was 3 shots, but all I heard was the second one, because that motherfucker launched in my back. And the chairs in his hot rod was like this. I wasn't wearing up a product about 98 pounds, and I had on a miniskirt that hit right here. You know, it was I call it a lollipop candy stripe. You know, the kind that you see on Christmas Day. But my, oh, that motherfucker was back, because that was my money-making dress. And it had holes in the motherfucker. And when that motherfucker launched in my back, Joe, I leaped through the motherfucker's And for the first time, I noticed something. Because, see, at first I was thinking that, you know, I had no regards for my own life because I didn't go to the hospital that night. Which is true. That part is true. But what I also realized that night was that, for the first time, I showed compassion for somebody else. You know? That I wasn't aware. Selflessness instead of being selfish. Now, it only lasted a second. Y'all need to know that. Because I wanted to try that shit I just got shot for. That same night, I met a dude who just got out of prison, which was my friend, best friend at that, for raping a 12-year-old girl. He not only raped her, but he killed her. Brutally killed her. And this motherfucker wore 300 pounds. Now, we went to his house. And he was my doctor. Now, I didn't even think about all this because that shit is hot in my back. I laid on the floor, And I'm telling him and this other broad what to do, you know, and we coming up with shit, right? We get peroxide, alcohol, and shit like that, and we pouring it on my back. But I never took in consideration this motherfucker had a serious problem because I got a nice fat ass. And this motherfucking pedophile was on this nice fat ass. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't look like y'all had those kind of issues. But that's okay too, because this is my story. Well, I'm here to tell you that I still wanted to smoke that goddamn weed. And he had control of the bag. And that motherfucker he had me pinned up in the kitchen. I ain't give a fuck about what he was pinning me for, you know, because I was willing to die. And I'm going to tell you how serious, when you on that shit, you would not give a fuck about what the next move is because you waiting for it. I know I was. Because death was my option. And he told me about the story about the little girl. And I said, you telling me that? Why? Let me hit that motherfucker you got in your hand. I won't hear that shit. Selfishness. I care more about getting high than I did my own fucking safety. Ignorance, stupidity, foolishness. And I perfected that shit. But y'all don't look like y'all that kind of people. Y'all don't look like you will put yourself in harm's way for something that don't even last 3 fucking seconds. That same friend, because he was so fucked up or what happened, he took his shit because, you know, he shot dope. That ain't my thing. I ain't mad at him. And he was gnawing off that shit. And I was hitting that motherfucker. He wouldn't wake up. And I was like, oh, fuck. Now I got to deal with this shit by myself. But it was something I was used to. Yeah. Selfishness. I used to tell people I was stupid. Now, the truth is that I wasn't stupid. I was mentally challenged. I know that today. And that was my game. I played on that. For real. I made my money being stupid. Because for some reason, people like stupid people. You know? But I actually, when I look back on that, I graduated high school reading on a 4th grade educational level. And I was ashamed because as fine as I am, I didn't want nobody to know I was dumb. Yeah. For real. You know how they say you could be so smart till you dumb? Well, I was just dumb on dumb. I ain't had no smart. And I was all right with it. I'm trying to tell you because I was whipped. I was stripped of all good sense. I was stripped of that shit. So I clinged to whatever I could hold on to because it was mine. Because they took everything else from me. So you ain't gonna take my stupidity. And I was fighting for that shit. I literally was fighting for that. But I'm gonna come up to the date. Because this is more better up to the day. God saw fit to remove the obsession, to change my life, to give me an opportunity to do something different. All because of a sincere prayer he heard me say to him. And the prayer was something real simple. I ain't know nothing about it. I said all I wanted, and I said it with sincere honesty, was a piece of mind. I ain't know what that was. But I never had it because I always lived in chaos. Okay? And I had no idea the work that comes with being clean, okay? So I come in here, he put me with a group of people that was fucked up, just like me, and I said, damn, I'm home. Y'all don't get this shit, man. I was fucking home. Because all I ever wanted was to be me, and I had to pretend. It didn't matter if you ain't like me. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. I was home with a bunch of crazy motherfuckers like me. And I use y'all asses. First, look, ladies. No, for real. Y'all need to hear this shit. I ain't never known no motherfucking body on the face of this earth to get high off of what somebody dressing in. I never, unless then y'all might, but I have. Okay? So when I come around because I'm comfortable. First of all, I give honor to my father every day. And he know I'm a freaking a hoe. He got me out the gutter. So why should I come up in here and change for every one of y'all asses? He don't want that. What he want me to do is carry his damn message. And he wanted to be crystal fucking clean. I'm just telling you. Now, some of y'all will say, you know, if you feel like that about this God, then why are you cussing? Well, then let me tell you. Because my father, he made the good and the damn bad. If he did, I ain't saying nothing he don't already know. And check this out. Some of y'all motherfuckers need to hear a couple of cuss words to get your attention. Yeah. And for those who don't need to hear cuss words, might need to see an ass. You don't know what get a motherfucker up in here. Listen to the story. They tell you. I came up in here to see if you was drinking out that white cup. I came up in here to see, oh damn, she had a fat ass, I was going to hit that. And fucked around and got clean. The first thing, and I'm talking about selflessness now. For those who didn't catch it. Because see, the way I was when I was on the street is the way I am while I'm in here. I'm going to be who I am. Simple as that. You ain't got to like me, but you damn sure will respect me. Because I can activate my sickness at any fucking moment. Just as well as you can. And I'm not saying that I don't on a good day. If I'm rubbed the right way. But I'm learning how to channel that and stay in a solution opposed to acting out on the ignorance. But I gotta be honest about who I am first. Everything I'm talking to y'all about is triggers. And another trigger for me, because I am an old hoe and I try not to be out too late at night because things started. My old thing was a goddamn girl. Them motherfuckers, hey, you can't go there. But then the civilized part in me said, you know, that's a selfish bitch over there, Trip. And you know what I say? You're right. because if I do this, then I know I'm going to activate all these other things. And this would turn into one thing, and that would turn into another thing, and that would turn into another thing. And then I'm fucked up again with a lot of unnecessary bullshit I could have prevented if I would have played the whole tape through. I am blessed to be here in spite of my situation. And I am so grateful that God did for me what I couldn't do for my own sorry self. And with that, thank God for letting me share.
Our next speaker will be Richie R. from Baltimore, Maryland.
I'm an addict. My name is Richie.
Hey, Richie.
I love Narcotics Anonymous. I really love what it's doing for my life. And I'm not confused about that. But it gets tricky around here sometimes. No, seriously. I've been exposed to a lot of things that everybody hasn't necessarily been exposed to on this road, and it's tough to know who to go to get your help. Because sometimes spiritual growth can confront a level of denial in the group, and people get disgruntled by the fact that you're changing. You don't want to kill yourself no more. You talking about the change, and now you confronting the denial in their life that they ain't willing to change. So I'm careful. This is the shit. I got to be careful who I expose my spirit to. I ain't never spoken no midnight meeting before because I know it's been a long day. I've been exposed to a lot of things, and you got to push really hard to stay in a spiritual posture when you know you got to carry this message and it's too late at night. I went home and shut it down. I went home, I laid down, I tried to get with him. Because it really ain't got nothing to do with me. If it has something to do with me, I was asked to speak as the main speaker in Cocoa Beach, Florida on this weekend. Now that'll tap a few of y'all's egos. Like, fuck Ocean City, they paying for me to come to Cocoa Beach. I have friends that I depend on for my very life that I know I'm going to see here. I had a commitment to my wife. This weekend right here, today is my wife's birthday. 8 years ago, at this convention, I met my wife. I need to continue to come here and participate in the miracle that started for me on that day. The theme of that convention was Lost Dreams Awaken. I didn't even know I had them kind of dreams. Now we're going to talk about being self-centered and selfish. Let me just see who's done a little work. The core of our illness is total self-centeredness. So do you know what that means? I love you, George, but don't let what you want get in the way of what I want. I love my kids. But don't let what they want get in the way of what I want. I love my wife, but if her and I want different things on a different day, it's going to be hell in the hallway. Because unfortunately, I haven't necessarily developed the kind of self-esteem and self-worth that I actually believe that I can ask for what I want and get it. Because I've never practiced that. It's always been about coming sideways, trying to manipulate, grease you so that I can get my way. And that's kind of tricky when you do that with another addict that's really skillful in their own right. That's why I used to date them dumb girls. Because I really didn't want to be confronted on nothing. I wanted to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I wanted to have my way, but I wanted to consider figuring out a way to make you feel like your input was important. No, we talking about real selfishness. I love you. I do love you. But guess what? I can't give you what I ain't got for myself. You want to get a relationship and be with somebody, you ain't developed what's necessary to be with you yet. So now you exposing everybody to your sickness. You making your 8-step list long as shit, but you going to call it early recovery. You've been here 15 years. That ain't that early. My children had an intervention on me. No, you don't understand. I'm busy carrying a message, changing. So I think I'm changing. I'm with y'all. Most of y'all don't confront me about a lot of stuff. That's the fucked up part. Once you get here and it's something really sick about Narcotics Anonymous meetings on this level, if the people don't speak and entertain you immediately, you don't have the discipline to stay and wait for the meet. So now I got to a place where people enjoy hearing me share, and I'd be ready to kill myself, and people don't want to say nothing because they don't want to confront our relationship. That makes me have to be extra honest about what area of my life I'm participating out of. Because unfortunately, I'm responsible for my recovery. And being an only child and all that, I've become dependent upon somebody else providing for me for the things that I need and never wanted to take care of my own self. So that's why I like to throw money and material things at my wife to try to control the outcome. Only problem is she ain't impressed with none of that. And then I'm left defenseless and feeling unorthodox and afraid and inadequate because I'm trying to treat my wife and anybody else that'll go for it like somebody that I was trying to chip off and crumb in the street. And making my wife cry because she's asking me for the one thing that I ain't really never been able to give any of you. And that's all of me. I give you what makes me comfortable. I actually give you enough of me that you think you got me. And that's just so I can get away. And do you think you know me and we cool and all that? I'm getting the fuck out of here. Yeah. Some of my friends know me. I don't get to skate. And it's uncomfortable. And I got to sweat through it. And I got to take my shots. Because I do want to change. That's the crazy part about Narcotics Anonymous. At some point, you'll change without your permission. And then you'll start responding to situations differently. But you don't know that you know that you want something different, but you are not trained or versed in the difference. So then you get all goofy and afraid and insecure, but you know you don't want to go back. And learning how to allow people into the places that nobody's ever been before is spooky. So sometimes it is more comforting to me to be an arrogant asshole that kind of uses an emotional stiff arm to offend you to make you not try to come in. And it's crazy when you know what you're doing, don't want to do it, but ain't practicing not doing it. So I was talking about my kids because you could come to Narcotics Anonymous and you could carry the message and you can help people and then you get home and everybody's waiting for you to be the person that was at the meeting. It's kind of backwards when you practicing all your change in the meetings, but everybody at home is waiting for the change. Like, when you going to be that book you say you read? Now, it's funny because you can relate, but it's really disarming when you're still using survival skills to try to duck and dodge in a relationship that you know that person loves you, but you don't know how to let them in. And I do that with my kids. Them loving on me to a certain degree makes my skin crawl because I don't know how to embrace the love. I didn't see the social interaction. I didn't have it to you know what I mean? I didn't. I learned sports, excellent athlete, pretty smart. But the social part was I learned how to do this to get my mother to do this, and I practiced manipulation. And then we get to the drugs, where the money is the most important thing in the drug game. And now my whole life has been centered around now, if you got money, you don't have to change. Them motherfuckers will change. And that's a sick way of thinking, but it's also, this is what's kind of crazy that I've been noticing too. Narcotics Anonymous has gotten so big that if I irritate one group, rather than staying around to be held accountable for my behavior, I can move to another social group and practice my illness over there. And then when they get ready to say, hey, boy, you can hurt yourself and you ain't ready to change, change your social group. So I'm grateful that I got it. Say there's one person that believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery. I've been fortunate enough to have probably a few hundred. But the most important person is my wife. Because I spend maybe 60 minutes with you and the other 23 hours at home. So I've been had a really good opportunity to be held accountable to the things that you don't even see needs to be changed. And it's really difficult when, for years, you've lived a lie, or we could call it a half-truth or whatever you want, about professing to know what you say you know about living the program, until you actually have to change and admit to that you never knew all the things you said you knew. And then, because it was always that thing about once you admit it, then you know she's going to clobber you over the head with it. And every time you say something, she's going to second guess everything you say, because you done already admitted that you didn't know what the hell you was doing to begin with. And the truth of the matter is that if I'd have been honest in the beginning, this relationship would have never gone here. Because here's the problem with, I'll just say with me. I would say that I wanted to be in a relationship, but I really just wanted to have some sex. So I would show up with all the kind of stuff that, you know, manipulating to extract the kind of emotional commitment, right, to get what I want. Don't have the maturity to say what I want and trust that maybe that's all you want too. So then I get stuck in trying to front in a relationship that I'm way in over my head. You starting to see stuff. I'm starting to manipulate more to try to throw you off. Not focusing on what you say I need to change, and maybe acting on the change and then maybe getting better and being able to stay there. Too busy trying to protect the illness and the lie. Years are going by, you causing harm. You say crazy shit to try to get them off of you. Ain't nobody making you stay. You know I'm fucked up. You still here. That makes you really fucked up. None of that is the point. You still three issues behind a problem. You don't even want to get to admitting that this is what we need to work on. So how are you ever going to get there? Every time they say something, you got some slick counter defense. You still treating it like it's the penitentiary. You always got some slick shit loaded, waiting for somebody to crack slick. You treating your wife like that? Oh, yeah, well, it ain't just my wife. It's my kids and my friends. So I'm thinking I'm doing great because I don't owe no money in child support. All the kids is fresh because my belief system is distorted, right? As long as their hair is cut and they got fresh outfits on, and you know what I mean, you buy all their school supplies and get them all the little things with the Hello Kitty your daughter wants or whatever they want, and you trying to throw material things where you lack in emotional development and maturity. How the hell do you be something that you've never been You're thrust into this position to be that. All the qualities are in you, but because you're so deathly afraid of being emotional and exposing all your inadequacies, every time something touches that, you become aggressive. Because the fear is so overwhelming, you got to and try to back them down. And then you know you're doing that, and you don't know how to stop. And when you see that hurt in their eyes, you cry at night just like they do. So then my wife finally, this we talking about a couple years ago now. It's been a little time now. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how a lot of times it's got to be like a nuclear blast for your head to come out of your ass and actually for you to see who you are in your life. So funny, you operating out of who you think you are in your life. Masters of self-deception. Not journeymen, not apprentices, masters. I can tell a lie without even thinking of it. I don't gotta think, I just lie. All right, I know you can relate. Shit. So my wife says, everybody in the living room, everybody in the living room, you sit there, don't say a thing, just listen. So everybody got an opportunity to talk to me about the way that they feel, about the way that I treat them. You don't treat us right, Daddy. You don't make us feel like what we say is important. We don't have value. Now you're talking about a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old making your defect list. There's one thing people in NA telling you ain't shit. Because you can kind of shut that off. You're going to pick something about their character apart to be able to justify that shit anyway. You know, you'll say some dumbass shit that don't even apply to not have to look at yourself. Maybe I'm the Lone Ranger. I don't know, but you say the first thing we do. It's not nothing that you ever see me do. It's what I know about myself. A lot of these battles and the things that I'm exposing about myself are things that I've been wrestling with for years. Still trying to figure out a way to change and stay the same at the same time. Just in case I need to defend myself. How do you surrender to the program, but you still trying to hold on to your defense mechanisms? You ain't really trusting him. You still think that what you got is better than what he's got. It always takes for me to cry for me to be willing to change. If I ain't crying, I ain't done yet. And it's not the crying in front of you and all that. Or it's that deep, sick ass, I want to kill myself because I still hate myself and the way that I can't interact with the people that I love the most. So a lot of times you can call this selfish, but certain stuff I will not expose myself to. I don't even play that game. I don't test my recovery. I try to protect it because I know who I am. I know who I am. I still like sick shit like you said. I just don't like what comes with that. I don't like paying that bill. I don't like the interest that comes with the bill. I don't like the residue that marinates in your spirit when you think you detox from something, but it still got you. I said insidious, totally entrenched before becoming apparent. It means I'm already in the grips and it owns me and I don't even realize it. And then when I do realize it, it's too late. I don't like to try to open nothing new up. All the time. Now, so if we're talking about a person, now this is all this, we're talking about the selfish side of it because for real, the selfless part of me, having worked the steps, the things that I do for others, it's unconditional. And if anything that I'm doing, I'm looking for something, then I ain't doing it from the right place. because I'm really grateful for the life that I have, and I may be a little hard on myself at times, but that comes from that whole being a competitor and athlete. Not only do I want to beat you, but I want to beat the last score that I had. So having taken a look at myself, going through the steps and discovering new things about myself, I really try to challenge the good in me to be the best in me. So I'm learning how to listen and not say so much. Be quiet. You can't talk and listen at the same time. And that's kind of difficult for a person who the whole world has always revolved around them. As long as I'm getting my way, everything is cool. We can even, let's get my way, but make it look like we're doing your thing. That would be an ultimate kind of success. No, seriously. I can give you some really good shit about how I do all this wonderful stuff, but then none of y'all are really going to be able to challenge me next year and the year after that about how I'm doing, because I share chapters of my life. This ain't no canned message. When you see me, I'm going to be talking about new things that I've discovered, challenges and battles that I've won, things that I fell short in, didn't wait like the way they said. I'm back on the road, because the amazing part about Narcotics Anonymous is that we do learn to love ourselves, and we want more of it. Just kind of like the drugs. Couldn't get enough. It's just that, you know, that if I'm gainfully employed, that feels nice. And then my wife and my kids are covered on my insurance benefits, so I'm supporting them completely. My mom doesn't hide her purse when I come over. I have keys to her house, her vehicles. I know where all the insurance policies are. If something happens to her, I know how to get the money. We've had to talk about who I need to call first. Do you know how hard that was? My mother is all I have. Everybody else is gone. Before, when I woke up from my addiction, everybody that loved me was dead. I couldn't go to my grandmother. I couldn't go to my grandfather. I couldn't go to my dad. I couldn't go to anybody to ask, how do I get started? Because all the years where I should have been paying attention to everything I need to know now, it wasn't important. None of that shit was important. I'm 40 years old and I finally want to have control of my life. I want to take responsibility for who I am for the first time in my life. But if you stay up here and talk about all this shit you say you know, and you really don't know it because you're more worried about what they think about you than getting the healing that you need, one day you're going to have to go back and rewrite everything you said you knew. And it's always the tougher the second time around because you've put so many lies and denial on top of your shit already. So, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a sponsor. I'm a sponsee. And being a dope fiend with really no training in any of those areas, I'm in over my fucking head. And I manage because I've been given the tools through Narcotics Anonymous to manage, but I don't necessarily thrive and prosper in the emotional areas that I want to. You know, I would rather have money and things than freedom and peace. And when I had to get to the place to where that was obvious to me, then I had to go back and pray for what I really needed. Because it's funny about Narcotics Anonymous, you can get anything you want here. You stay clean, you can get anything. But you're going to have a program to maintain it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to throw everything you don't have into maintaining it for your ego and whatever image purposes you have, and it's going to destroy you. So I'm going to say this little story and then we're going to get out of here. I do appreciate the people that love me enough to stay up and support me, because I didn't know if I was going to stay up and support me. No, you honest. I was in bed. I went back to take a nap and I was, you know, the selfish side of me said, fuck them. No, for real. Like, this shit, this ain't that important to me. I was in bed. I was getting up to come do this, and then I'm like, fuck them. I don't care about, you know, no, for real. What I care about is having consistency with my wife and my children. What I care about is having consistent patterns with my friends. That's what I care about is when I say what I say, they don't have to look at me like, you sure this time? That hurts me, man. Because I mean to do what I say. Just get a little distracted sometimes when my emotions overrun my intellect. And I forget how when I don't do what I say, how it's going to destroy you. And then you got that look in your eye again, and I remember why I should have been more vigilant. And because of the pain in your eyes, I'm thinking a little bit more about that pain in your eyes before I think about what I want. Because the things I want are different. I didn't know I could just be with one woman. I didn't know what it was like to have the kind of connection where you can be safe inside of somebody. I'm learning what it's like to be safe inside of somebody else and try to allow them to be safe inside of me. But I get spooked sometimes and I do little things and throw my arm up emotionally, and that causes little scars, and then that ruins the connection, and then I'm sorry and I'm crying, and you're sorry, all right? You are sorry. You're only sorry till the next time. But I don't mean it any time. I'm not a malicious person. I like to talk shit and carry on, but I don't never try to do nothing to hurt anybody. Just so fucking unprepared for some of this stuff, man. But I want to be there because I've got a taste of it, and I know I'm good. I know I can learn it. I know I can do this. But being with me is going to be painful to some of y'all. I've taken a good look at myself as a result of this step work. I know how tough it is to fucking be with me. I live with me. So I was living in Youngstown, Ohio, building a steel mill. There's no work in Baltimore for my union right now. It's a little slow. Then I came home for 6 weeks. And I got laid off. That's what happens when the jobs slow down. And I came home, and I was staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching all them damn TV shows with my wife and rubbing on her butt and stuff and having a good time, happy to be home. And the people called and asked me to speak here, so I don't have no life, so fuck it, I'm going to be up at midnight, right? I'll do it. Then a couple weeks after that, the people called me from a different part of Ohio and said, we're building this gas plant, we need to come back. Now I'm back getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, working till 5 at night, sleep in bed at 9 o'clock, and now carrying the message is not good no more. I don't want to do this. It's up too late. It's disrupting my lifestyle. Done got some bougie ass, punk ass motherfucker. You ain't grateful for what God has given you, huh? You can't lose a few hours sleep, huh? You really ain't that grateful then. When participating in Narcotics Anonymous becomes a burden to you, there is a shift that is taking place in what's fucking really important. And I got people like Larry T. and George and Harold, a lot of guys in my life whose whole life revolved around carrying the message to the addict. And I'm trying to learn how, once of all, stop lying and manipulating and doing shit at home, because my job is of service. And I am an important member of Narcotics Anonymous, and a lot of people depend on me, and I need to make myself available. But I got to be able to find balance in my life between what my wife and kids need from me versus what the fellowship needs from me. And because I get so afraid, because I cheated on my wife when I was on the road several years ago, now every time I go to ask, can I go share in another country, she gets that fucked up look on her face because of what I've done. And having to build my way back from all that to be able to do the things that I like after having destroyed what we have. It's easy to cheat. It's hard to stay and do the work to fix it. It's hard as shit. Because the part of the ninth step is that level of humility where you cause the harm, you don't necessarily get to tell them when the hurt is supposed to be done. And part of it was just so painful being confronted with me was I just was ready to say, fuck this shit. Because I've never stayed long enough to really rock through the harm that I've caused. I'd be a tornado just whipping through people's lives. And if you don't like it, fuck you. And that's not right. And then to have changed from that place to have to sit through and nurture the harm is tough. And then to figure out how to do this and do that, and it is so much more important for me to have peace and consistency in my home. Because I never made home a priority. When it's more comfortable to live on the road and hang out at NA conventions and be with your friends and talk shit in the hallway all weekend, that's easier than being confronted on all the things about you that need to change. Because you know when you go home, we're going to be talking about that work. We're going to be talking about that work. And it don't start like that. It's always a tricky kind of way we end up here. It always is the same. I want to talk to you about such and such. I say, oh, shit. In my mind, I say, oh, shit. Because every time we talk, this is my thinking, it's always about some shit I need to be working on. She don't ever sit me down and talk about all the shit she needs to change. And I keep waiting on that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, one fucking day, if you fixed you the way you fixed me, then I got to quiet the noise that says if we're willing to take a look at the input from fellow addicts. Sometimes I forget my wife is a fellow addict because we have roles and I have entitlement and you're my wife and I'm the head of the house and I can use any fucking thing to not have to fucking be accountable. God said. Oh, yeah. All right. No. Depends how backed in I am. Depends how inadequate I feel about what you coming with. God ain't tell you shit. If you was checking with God, we wouldn't be here. When you can't use God to get out, you're in trouble. So here's what happened. He told me 5 minutes. I came home from the Youngstown trip, and I had done a couple steps while I was up there because I was at a place where I wanted to learn how to be quiet. I was supposed to speak at a couple different conventions one weekend after another. I didn't even come to Louisville that weekend, but I did call. I didn't go to Cleveland. I didn't call. I did almost call. I've done some shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'll just shut it down. Like, I ain't speaking. I ain't doing it. I want to close down. I want to learn. And I forget to call. Then, he ain't shit. Who's he think he is? Anyway, so I did steps 9, 8, 9, and 10 while I was in. And then I come home for 6 weeks, and my sponsor and I went over to work. And then I got to the 11th step, and I was looking at, wow, you spend so much time running around. As soon as one commitment ends, you find somebody else to help and fix and put their life together, or you'll build a kind of a program and get everybody on track, or you start riding bikes. Now everybody in your life has to buy a bike because you done found a new awakening, and now they all need to find the same fucking healing you found. We're all going to ride 100 miles a day. You know, shit like that, the shit I do. And I was looking at how I hardly spend a lot of time meditating. How many of you stay still long enough, you still making it hard for God to hit a moving target? You still running around swearing you carrying his will, but you ain't stopped long enough all the time to take the purpose, aim, and direction that he has for you. And because you're getting positive results, because you plugged in, maybe you're still digging in areas that really don't need any improvement. So I had to be honest about that. Like, shit. I got with me. I got with them. It's time to get with him. It's time to get with him. Like, what if you spent as much time with him as you spend with them? Oh, that's because there's no instant gratification with him. You really got to wait on things with him. Yeah. You can't put your hands in it and make things happen and get what you're looking for. You got to wait on the change to really occur. And because the change don't look like what you think it's supposed to look like, because you're looking at through it your human eyes and not your spiritual eyes, you might be ready to change, but because you don't know what it's supposed to look like, you start doing your thing again. So I said to myself and to him on the inside, this admission. And then the people called me from another part of Ohio, and I'm 40 miles from the nearest town. You got to drive 20 some miles to get a cell phone signal. There's no cable or phone in my house, and there's nobody to talk to but him. And I went in there the first night, and my sponsor was talking to me about this. We talked about it yesterday. He said, sometimes the noise in your head can be so loud, it can paralyze you. You can become deafened by the noise of your own thinking and your own racing thoughts. So I found a house in the middle of nowhere. It's all God stuff. It was funny. I looked on Google Earth, and there was a spot in the middle of the woods called the Faith Ranch. Now, everybody else is driving 40 miles one way from a hotel that they're paying $100 a night. I went on Google Earth, saw Faith Ranch, knew it was from him, called the lady. It's a Christian horseback riding camp, and they do Bible study and all this shit. And it had nothing to do with renting apartments or houses or none of that. But it said the Faith Ranch. And I knew it was from him. And I called, and the lady said, yeah, we actually do have a house on our property. And it's 8 miles from where I work. Everybody else is driving 40 miles one way. And she said, but it's $400 a month. You sure you can afford that? I can manage. Because now I didn't want to be who I was. All arrogant and aggressive. Sure, you know how much money I got and all this stuff. So what I'm saying is the first night I went in there, I was all by myself with no TV, no cable, no cell phone. I brought a radio that operates off of a battery, and I was so afraid. I pulled the bed out of the upstairs and put it in the middle of the dining room floor so I could see everything that was coming. And I turned the radio up as loud as I could stand it because I didn't want to hear if anything went boom, 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 boom in the middle of the night. And I told my mother and I told my friends because I needed to talk about where I was at for real, that I was living out in the middle of the woods and I was all by myself and coyotes and raccoons and skunks were eating my trash and I was afraid. And that I was locking the doors and closing shit up and sleeping in the middle of the living room floor with the radio all the way up because I was scared the boogeyman was going to get me. And that's what it amounted to. Because, of course, I'm still a little touched by an angel. I'm going up in the woods with them hillbillies. I'm taking a gun with me. I ain't, you know. So I'm sleeping on a nightstand with a gun, but you can't shoot the boogeyman. So I tell my friends and then I tell my mother, and she just laughed at me. You still think the boogeyman's going to get you? But that was the truth. That was the truth. The noise, the life moving so fast, never taking time to really practice what I needed to practice, to slow down, to make healthy decisions that ain't based in impulse. So I'm up there working on my relationship with him so that I can become an asset and come home and really be the head of my family. So I promise to keep y'all posted as this thing goes along. And I appreciate y'all staying up and supporting this meeting. And I really do just want to be free. And I say this all the time. If you don't know what freedom is not being controlled by the things that used to control you. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Amen. Where the notes at? A1, y'all bootleg ass tape company.
Amen. It's Laverne.
What's your last initial, Laverne?
Laverne K.
Hold up.
Laverne K from D.C.
And Laverne K.